We call it food insecurity now instead of hunger, but it's basically the same thing. People have to stretch their food budgets to the breaking point and even skip a meal now and then. Rural areas where dollars and grocery stores can be scarce are prone to food insecurity, but the numbers from the Klamath River Basin are shocking. 92% of Native American households report food insecurity. That's the whole basin, from the mouth of the river in California to the headwaters in Oregon. Let's hear more about the numbers and about efforts to change them. Jennifer Sauerwein is with the University of California, Berkeley, where she's an assistant cooperative extension specialist, have been working with the Karuk tribe for a long time and the Karuk UCB collaborative in on working on food systems. Jennifer, thank you for joining us once again.
Thanks. Yeah, thanks for having me today.
Lisa Hillman is with us as well, Karuk tribal member, also a program manager for the tribe's Pikyav Field Institute, and working also on the UCB Karuk partnership. They were both here last August to talk about the expansion of that partnership. Lisa, welcome back as well.
Aiki and Yova, thank you very much.
Thank you. In general, Lisa, how would you say the effort is going to build some resiliency into the food system for Karuk people?
I think actually that the food security project that we just completed in 2017, that was a major benefit to our Native American communities. I see families out in much greater numbers than prior. I see a lot more gardens. I think that a lot of people feel happier or more satisfied or feel secure, and that's in and of itself a great boon.
So what have been in the past some of the obstacles to food security for members of the Karuk and the Yurok and the Hoopa and the Klamath tribes?
That's a great question, and it deserves about 2 weeks' time to answer it. So there's a lot of history that's gone into making us one of the most food insecure people in the world, and that is really kind of interesting, given the fact that our area is replete with all kinds of the most fabulous, lovely food in the world. But through Euro-American control taking over the land, so the poor land management decisions that we see nowadays, especially through wildfire and dead fish in the water every other cycle. This is where we take a look at mining, land management issues, as far as the water is concerned, and how it is that we use that. So diverting it, using it for agriculture, letting those kinds of chemicals get into the water system. That's how we've become food insecure.
And let's talk about how insecure, Jennifer Sauerwein. The policy brief that you folks put out in June about the measurement of household food security overlooks significance of native foods to food security indicates that Native Americans are 2% of the country's population, but hold a much larger percentage in food insecurity. 92%, is this the figure for the Klamath Basin?
Right, yes. You know, the way that food insecurity is measured at the national level is through what's called the Household Food Security Survey Module, and it's administered as a supplement to the current population survey that's conducted by the U.S. Census Bureau. And because it's done, you know, at a national level, the numbers at the county level often are very small representation of the Native voice. And so what we did is focused survey explicitly on Native American households only. And we also worked in partnership with Lisa from the Karuk tribe and then also the Klamath tribe and the Yurok tribe to culturally inform this particular, added cultural variables in that that the tribes in particular felt would be important, variables that might influence food security. So as a result of that, we found, you know, extremely high rates, as you mentioned, of food insecurity, 92% experiencing some level of food insecurity. So that could range from, you know, reduction in quality or quantity of food. But we also found 52% of households experiencing very low food security, which means that they are reducing the quantity of and some people are skipping meals. And it's 10 times higher than the national average. And so, you know, one of the challenges, or one of the things that we're finding, is that food assistance, you know, through commodity foods or through SNAP benefits, you know, they're really important social safety nets. But, and we found that 64% of the population in our sort of rely on this kind of assistance, but we still found that 84% of those people still worry about where their next meal is going to be coming from. So we really need to start thinking about the ways in which food security is measured, and then also how it's being addressed, because it's not being addressed. We still see chronic food insecurity among those, even on food assistance.
We're talking about food insecurity among Native Americans in the Klamath River Basin with Jennifer Sauerwine from the University of California, Berkeley, and Lisa Hillman from the Karuk Tribe. You can join the conversation on the exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Lisa Hillman, over the years, you were talking about the changes in management, the changes of availability in Native foods. I mean, are some foods simply just not part of the mix anymore, and has, in fact, the knowledge to create those foods or to get them to grow been lost?
I don't want to say anything about losing traditional knowledge. However, I do want to point out that so traditional ecological knowledge, that's storied science of, so also in conjunction with the experience, so experience with the natural world. So all of those, that needs to be practiced in order for it to survive. At the same time, there are many knowledge carriers. What's gone out of, so one of the largest areas in which we've had some loss in information is especially with seeds. So those kinds of grasses that we used to have are just simply not there anymore, been replaced with, you know, European varieties of this of wheat and oats. So at a time that people were trying to turn this, our area, into an agricultural area. Right now we also have, as far as the hunting is concerned, and so how to traditionally practice hunting, how to do that effectively and carefully, that's in danger of extinction simply because we aren't allowed to, or so our children would be sent to jail. I say children because I'm an older mother of several young men that, you know, that they have to break the law in order to practice their traditional culture effectively. And yes, that knowledge is going to be lost if we aren't able to manage for, harvest, so prepare, store, and consume those native foods that make up our identity.
When you talk about the young men getting arrested, the hunters, is this because they would be hunting in what is not a state of California identified season for whatever they're hunting?
It's not only a seasonal piece, it's also has to do with the way that that animals are taken, and also just the permitting. That whole process this is something that's difficult. So for a tribal person to ask permission to take one of our own relations on our own tribal territory.
I should point out that your investigations here, as reported last month, get into a lot of interviews as well. So there are some verbatim comments here, including from somebody who said, I've never gotten a tag or a license and I'm never going to. So there's some hard feelings here about the restrictions put upon Native Americans who want to do the things that they had been doing for thousands and thousands of years.
Very good point, Jeff.
So there's a concept here that you raise, and it looks like, Lisa, you might have created this, the concept of native food security. This is a measure you created? Is that right?
No, that's not right. This is something that, you know, we've talked about and worked on together. I would never suggest that would define anything that is native. I'm a Karuk tribal member. Mm-hmm. I'm a Yurok tribal descendant. We're one of so many tribes, and each one of our tribes has their own culture. Even within a specific tribe, you have different watersheds, and so a host of families that have their own ideas or their own ways of practicing their traditional knowledge. So no, that wasn't me. I did not define Native food security, but the concept is something that we all carry in our minds. Simply, so recognizing the fact that. Well, health, so the Western health system is defined by the male Anglo-Saxon body. We would argue that food security is as well.
And what then do you do with the information then? How do you change the system in which you're confined at the moment?
I think the information that we've uncovered is very shocking. At the same time, on a very personal level, I feel so much hope in that our tribal people recognize that food is everything that we are. It defines our tribal identity. It defines our culture. And the loss and the need for more of that is very strongly felt. And that made me feel good at the same time, very sad. And I forgot the question.
Okay, but no, that was good to hear, though. Lisa Hillman is with the Karuk tribe, and as she mentioned, a Yurok descendant as well. Jennifer Sauerwein with the University of California, Berkeley. They've been working together on food security issues, food system issues for Native Americans in the Klamath Basin for a long time. 800-838-3760 if you'd like to join the conversation by phone. Questions and comments, welcome. Emails go to jx@jeffnet.org. So you've got a lot of information now, Jennifer Sauerwein. What do you do with it? How do you move forward from here?
Right. Great question. And, you know, you pose this question about the definition of Native food security. So what we were looking at is, based on the results of our analysis, you know, it's referring to, we found that 70% of all the respondents never or rarely get access to the Native foods. And we identified and sort of uncovered a number of barriers to the Native foods. And then we collectively came up with this definition that we believe could help inform the way in which food security is defined and then also measured. It's about Native communities, more broadly speaking. So it really needs to be considered, you know, not just having access to healthy, affordable foods. We actually found that having access to Native foods was a strong security. So we need to think creatively about all the different ways in which Native American communities can increase their access to and availability of Native foods. So Lisa already suggested some of these things would be related to removing barriers to hunting, fishing, and gathering, strengthening those intergenerational knowledge transference of how to properly, you know, procure the different kinds of Native foods in certain ways. One of the things we found, households that have strong intergenerational knowledge transference of how to procure and process Native foods, those households are also tend to be more food secure. So, you know, there's a lot of different layers at which we can explore this, and I would defer to Lisa and the tribal communities we partnered with in terms of, you know, how best to do that at the local level. But I think scaling up, I think that there's a tremendous opportunity for researchers to move beyond the standard ways in which food security is measured to include Native foods. And then also thinking at the policy level, you know, how can we revisit the ways in which food assistance programs are designed and employ of integrating more Native foods into those programs? Can there be a way, you know, I was just in Alaska at a conference on agriculture, foods, and human values, and was learning that in Alaska that one of the SNAP Ed benefits is to provide hunting and fishing, you know, funds to purchase hunting and fishing equipment. So, you know, there's a lot of different ways in which I think we can start thinking creatively about removing some of these legal barriers and creating new policy support, greater access to healthy, more culturally relevant, and affordable foods.
And I think I want to state it again, and I don't think we can overstate this, the idea that the whole concept of food insecurity, as you're both talking about, is not a one-size-fits-all thing for every culture. And for the Native American cultures you're talking about here, it's a different context, particularly when you're lacking native foods. And so 99% of the households want more access to native foods, Lisa Hillman. So are there some specific ideas for some first steps to take in that direction?
Well, we have been. I mean, just this radio conversation right here is one of those steps, really getting that information out to people and so that the public, you know, public is aware of this, the great need and what could be very helpful for the nation if we had some food secure people in the world. But right now what we're doing is with the Department of Natural Resources, we have an education program. This education, the Pikya Field Institute, is helping to bring that traditional ecological knowledge into the classrooms, helping the students understand how to manage, how to harvest, how to identify it, so how to prepare and store native foods. And at the same time, we also, through our food security division, also have cultural community events, so where that information is shared with the whole community and practiced. That we have workforce development, so we balance that traditional knowledge with Western science in order to help make inroads in bringing traditional land management back onto the table. So there's so much that we can do and what we need to do. This is just my program, the Pikya Field Institute, and I feel strongly that with people like University of California, Berkeley, with Jennifer Sauerwind as partners, we have so much to do yet, but we have made really great strides just in understanding what that means to Native Americans. Food insecurity is not just a question of physical health, it's a question of mental health.
Mm-hmm. All right, thank you so much. Lisa Hillman, Karuk Tribal Member, Program Manager for the Pikya Field Institute, Jennifer Sauerwine, University of California, Berkeley. Good to talk to you both once again on The Exchange.
Yodwa.
Great talking with you too. Thank you.